Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
Thank you, Woody. Ian Cummings, NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Network, joins us this morning. Ian, how you doing, man? You doing okay?
Doing good. We got around a month left until the NFL draft, so we're on the home stretch. We're past the NFL combine. So really, all that's left is to, you know, speculate for an entire month and kind of think about what's going to happen. A lot of outcomes still on the table for all 32 teams. It's going to be a fun one for sure.
And then you throw in the trades that will get crazy. Somebody will jump up and jump again or go down and try to pick up more draft picks. So, yeah, it is a lot of fun. I got to ask you, some people now believe it's four quarterbacks in the first four picks. They feel that strongly about all four guys. Would you be shocked if that happened?
I would be surprised. I think the first five picks is a little bit more likely. I think one of those picks, four or five, is definitely going to be that fourth quarterback at this point. Maybe, you know, I think you know, the top end level of the variance, right? I think at the latest, it's seven, right? I think at the latest, that top seven pick, that's when the Titans would trade down and let a QB needy team move up. But I think that's the latest, because that QB tax, as we've seen in previous years, is so powerful. And you've already got two guys who are two of the highest graded on my board, Caleb Williams and Drake May at the very top, then Jaden Daniels, and then J.J. McCarthy is getting a lot of love, too, because he's young, he's talented, right? You know, you can argue about, you know, whether or not he elevated that Michigan team down the stretch, and I think that's a valid argument. But, you know, if you're scouting a guy, if you're projecting for his future development, you're looking at the diagnostics on tape, and the diagnostics speak very favorably for him. I think, you know, he's young, he's talented, but, you know, beyond having the athleticism and arm talent, pretty good processor, right? The flashes of anticipation and pocket navigation are there. So I think, yeah, it's looking more and more likely that that QB tax combined with these guys who have that combined talent and promise is going to drive these guys up.
So I got to ask you this. You think in the first round we're going to see more offensive linemen or more wide receivers? Because it looks like both positions are really loaded.
Yeah, for sure. I think if I had to pick one, probably offensive line. I just think the offensive tackle class is really deep at the top of the board in the first round, but there is a little bit of a drop-off after that first six or seven, right? Six or seven or eight. So I think teams will be a little bit more incentivized to make sure they get those guys early, as opposed to wide receiver, where the top end group is really, really strong, but you can go down to, you know, the first two dozen, and there's guys who will still gain day two consideration. So I think the wide receiver class is a little bit deeper, and because of that, teams are going to try and rush to get their offensive linemen. But both position groups are incredibly strong. I mean, you look at the top of the board, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roman Dunes, but even after that, Brian Thomas Jr., A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy with that 4.21 speed. I mean, I would be surprised if he fell out at this point. And then you've got guys like Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett, who all kind of fielded that fringe first-round consideration too.
Yeah.
But on the offensive line, you've got, you know, Joe Alt, Olde Pishanu, J.C. Latham, Amarius Mims, Taliesi Fuaga, Troy Fatanu. I mean, the list goes on. And then even interior line guys like Jackson Powers Johnson, Graham Barton, that's kind of where the combination comes for me, because you not only have offensive tackles to consider, but also interior line guys, or guys like Arizona's Jordan Morgan, who played tackle but could project to guard at the next level. So I think the depth of the offensive line class is a little bit weaker down the road, but in the early rounds, there's so much talent, teams can jump the gun to get them.
Yeah, so I got to ask you, I saw your pick with the Dolphins, was Murphy the defensive tackle. I got to ask you, because it's a great call, it could happen, Christian Wilkins trying to replace that guy with a guy that can pass rush, and it could be a first, second, and third down defensive tackle. Tell me a little bit more about him and why you liked him with the Dolphins at 21.
Yeah, for sure. I think back to what Wilkins gave them on the interior. Definitely a guy who, at that 3-tech spot and a little outside that through 2-eye, 4-eye, you're looking at a guy who's got a really solid 3-down profile, I think. You know, and Byron Murphy the second isn't quite as big as Wilkins was, but at his size, you know, around 6'1", over 300, he'll probably play around 305 to 310, if I had to guess, somewhere within that range. Solid proportional length, too. So I think on tape, you see how he plays in run defense. He's so well leveraged with his frame, but he's got very proportional length too. He can extend beyond his frame. He can maintain a solid center of gravity, and he can absorb combo blocks really well in run defense. And he's very a quick processor. He's very explosive through gaps. And then as a pass rusher, I think for him, just that instant first step, right, with the torque that he can generate with his punches and his hip rotation, those things are all very strong with him. And then his motor runs very hot. I think with Miami Dolphins, if you're going to try and go with the defensive tackle at that pick, which, you know, that's one of the bigger needs remaining on their roster. They've done a pretty good job of filling needs across the board in free agency. But if it came to DT in round one, for me, it's between Murphy and Johnny Newton from Illinois. I think Johnny Newton is more flexible. I think he's got more bend to him, and that can help him be a little bit more alignment versatile. But Byron Murphy the second, man, he's got the explosiveness, the energy, the power drive to just be a game wrecker in both phases. So I think there's appeal for both of them. But I think with Byron Murphy the second in particular, you're catering to that 3-down upside that you know you need.
You wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins, who have, by the way, been able to get a lot of their offensive linemen back from last year, except their center and right guard, but you wouldn't be surprised if they grabbed an offensive lineman. Would that surprise you completely if they did that with the 21st pick?
It wouldn't surprise me completely. Teron Armstead is getting older, and there's definitely a medical history to consider there too. So I think, you know, I wouldn't be averse to it. I think if you're getting an offensive lineman, you're probably looking at a tackle who has guard capabilities too. I look at Graham Barton or Troy Fatanu as guys who would probably be at the top of that list, maybe Jordan Morgan, but, you know, that's kind of what they're confined to, because they got Aaron Brewer, who I think for what the scheme is will be a very good fit. I think last I saw yesterday, Damian Lewis was garnering consideration for them. So I think what you're really getting is security at tackle and utility at guard. I think that's what you're targeting if you are going offensive line. I could see them do it because, you know, we've seen how important offensive line is for that Mike McDaniel offense to execute efficiently. But at the same time, there are guys available on day two who provide a similar element too. So it would surprise me a little bit, yeah. But it depends on how the board falls. I think trenches either way.
Well, we've had this Marvin Harrison from Ohio State love affair since the start, and he's obviously put up monster numbers. But would you be surprised if Malik Nabers jumped ahead of him from LSU?
I would be a little surprised, admittedly, and that's part of my own evaluation. Marvin Harrison Jr. is my highest graded wide receiver ever, right? And I go back to Jamar Chase. He has a higher grade than Chase did for me. I think with Harrison Jr., I think we forget how complete of a receiver he is, not just on the operational side, but the dude is a legit side-speed weapon. Like a 6'4", 6'3", 208, I think is what he weighed in at. But he's got legit stacking speed. He's very flexible as a route runner, very good at the catch point. So to me, he checks all the boxes. That said, like, I would be a little surprised, but I can also see the merit behind some teams having Malik Nabers as their wide receiver one, because Harrison is that complete three-level receiver, but Nabers is a weapon. I mean, 6 foot, around 200, super explosive, twitchy, very physical in the rack phase, really good vertical threat with not only the speed but the stemming IQ to get DBs off their, you know, optimal angles, right? You know, with those stemming angles, and then at the catch point too, he can snare passes beyond his frame. He's got very good contact balance, very good agility, and you know, drive with his legs. So I think, you know, I think back, and it's kind of an old school comp, but he reminds me a little bit of Sterling Sharp back in the day with the Green Bay Packers. Just a guy who exudes physicality and energy in every phase, explosive power tag of an athlete. You know, not the biggest guy, but he plays bigger than his frame because he is such a high motor guy. Yeah. Malik Nabers, to me, is that kind of weapon. So I could definitely see him going before Harrison because of that. But on my board, Harrison is untouchable just because of how clean and how well-rounded he is.
I'll tell you, Chicago Bears fans, once they see your mock draft, ought to be excited. The Bears, of course, have the first and ninth pick right now. If it is Caleb Williams and like a Malik Nabers, oh, my God. What a great start to add not only your quarterback, give him another young weapon like that.
Yeah, and to add on to that, too, they just traded for Keenan Allen, the fourth-round pick. But that's highway robbery right there. So you look at that wide receiver room, yeah. Like, it's a little overkill if you think about it, but Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Malik Nabers, like, that's a three-headed dragon right on day one. That's going to instill fear in defenses. And, hey, you know, you need a good weapons core to succeed in the NFL. So I wouldn't be averse to it. I think they're in a good spot where they can do that kind of thing.
Help me out on what happened a year ago. So Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, and I know a lot of it has to do with talent around them and system and everything else. How can there be such a big difference? I mean, they're now wondering if Bryce Young can play, and CJ Stroud like jumped up the board to like a top 8 or 9 quarterback in the whole league.
Yeah, it was definitely a stark dichotomy for sure. And, you know, to be fair, like, I had Stroud as my QB1, but I was also relatively confident in Young's ability to succeed in the right system. So, you know, I was surprised at how poorly he fared at times. But I think, you know, your surroundings can have a very big impact, right? And we knew from the start there was gridlock between the owner and Frank Reich in Carolina. Reich was obviously out the door midway through the season, right? So, you know, I think there was some gridlock, and that kind of contributed to it. It can precipitate down a little bit. But also, I do think Houston did a better job supporting Stroud with weapons. I mean, Carolina's wide receiver one was Adam Thielen, who's, you know, still a decent player, but, you know, past his prime. And you want guys who are more explosive and put more pressure on defenses. And I don't think Young ever got that. And then we've seen so far this offseason, they've reworked their interior offensive line, too. So when you can't step up as a rookie, that can contribute to lacking comfort as well. So, you know, I think that played a big hand to it. But also, I thought Stroud had the superior physical tools to withstand adversity at a greater level at the NFL level early on in his career. Right? I think Young can still succeed, and I think Dave Canales, the head coach, is a phenomenal fit with him because Canales in Tampa Bay with Baker Mayfield, right, it was all about, you know, limiting the volatility of his game, right, and helping him succeed. I think they've positioned him with a little more weaponry. Deontay Johnson from Pittsburgh, again, they reworked the interior line. There's still a little bit more work to do. You know, they've got the 33rd, 39th pick. I would try and add a weapon with one of those. But I think Bryce Young, you think about his creative instincts, his, you know, intangibles as a passer and kind of a point guard of the offense. I think Canales is the perfect offensive mind to maximize that. So supporting cast played a big role in him kind of, you know, falling below under expectations. But at the same time, I think there did need to be some measured, you know, some temperament of those expectations because he's not an elite physical talent.
How did you feel about that 2021 quarterback class? We've now seen what? Let me run through this. Trevor Lawrence has turned out okay. Not as good a player as I thought he'd be at this point. Three guys have been traded to be backups, and one guy I don't think they can get rid of for Dunkin' Donuts at all, like right now. So how do you explain so many whiffs? That, to me, there's no way they can all be that bad. This goes back to system and the things we're talking about. Would you agree with that? Or are those guys just all that bad after 3 years?
No, I mean, I think, you know, with draft evaluation, there's always an element of projection, right? And sometimes guys hit the projection you put out for them, sometimes they don't, right? So you're never going to bat 100%. But that said, you are correct. I think compared to what the expectations were for those guys, it's been drastically different than what we expected. I think there's a multitude of factors, right? I think, obviously, situation, supporting cast. You could argue that teams like the Bears and the Jets didn't adequately support their quarterbacks early on. Trey Lance had injuries early on that may have kind of stinted his growth a little bit. But at the same time, you know, it's up to these guys to, you know, show that they have it or that they don't. I think Zach Wilson, you know, at the same time, you can make the argument that they didn't support him well enough early on. But also you watch how he plays, and he was given opportunities down the stretch and failed to show the ability to grow, you know, stack development. So I think, you know, it's a very fine-tuned, nuanced process of you know, seeing if these guys have what it takes not only to, you know, process on the field, but also develop off the field and sustain that development. So, you know, with Trey Lance, it was difficult because the Shanahan system, he obviously couldn't play it to a level that Shanahan wanted, and Brock Purdy proved he could, and that gave him the opportunity to succeed. So I think, you know, it's different for every guy. But I do think, you know, when there's a supporting talent deficiency and when there's a flaw that can be exacerbated with that in the prospect, that can cause things to kind of collapse like this. Trevor Lawrence, the book is still out on him. I think generally he's been good. I'm hoping that year two with Doug Peterson can help things kind of cool down and help him, you know, improve. But, you know, we're still kind of waiting for him to reach that peak, like you said. So I think it's a multitude of factors, and it just kind of proves how complex the NFL draft evaluation process is.
Yeah, good point. Ian, I got to tell you, this is a great teaser. This is not a mock draft. This was a teaser to a month from now. It's going to be great. So thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's going to be a fun one. So we'll stay tuned. We'll see what happens.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.